I'm Sylvia Burgos Toffness, and this is Deep Roots Radio. Every week, my guests help us connect the dots between what we eat and how it's grown, because every single food dollar we spend either protects or degrades the environment, produces foods with high nutrition or empty calories, and either helps pay a fair wage or keeps farm workers among the working poor. We get to make that choice every time we push a cart through the grocery store, visit the farmer's market, and eat at a restaurant. I hope you enjoy this interview.
Joe Robinson, the author of Eating on the Wild Side, which was just released in June. I got to know about Joe's work through her nationally popular, wildly popular, I might say, a website called eatwild.com, and through a book that was of interest to me because I raise beef, called Pasture Perfect, where she takes a look at livestock and examines it with a similar lens. Is eating something that is closest to what was once wild packing more nutrition? So what does that mean for us, people who don't necessarily forage, but who actually go out there to a farmer's market or through a CSA or through a grocery store, try to get our foods? Perhaps you can help us, Joe. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. Yes, thank you so much for setting your clock early this morning, because you're speaking to us from Vashon Island in the state of Washington.
Wow.
So we say thank you again.
Well, you're welcome.
I'm
used to it. I have a lot of really early morning interviews.
Well, and I can understand why, because your book, I think, brings to us an amazing wealth of research into what's in our food, what's in the vegetables that we eat, because they're not all created equal. Joe, you're an investigative journalist. You've been doing this for a long time. What prompted you to take a look at the nutritional value in produce?
I've been really interested in how we lived and what we ate before we were farmers. And we've been farmers for 12,000 years, which sounds like a long time. But we were eating wild food for eons. I mean, that's our natural diet, is wild game and wild plants. And I have found, almost without exception, that the foods that we didn't create, the wild ones, are better for us than the ones we've grown as farmers. And it's not just the last 50 or 100 years that we've been reducing the nutrients. It's since the beginning of the agricultural revolution, which is 400 generations. It's not good enough to go back to what our grandparents and great-grandparents ate, as many people are proposing. We need to find wild food and foods in the supermarket and the farmer's market that are equivalent to wild plants, and that's what I do in my book.
Now, your book is based on extensive research. Just how long did this take, and how much did you do?
10 years of research, and I read over 6,000 original sources, which is academic studies in these medicinal journals. And I loved every minute of it, I must tell you. It wasn't a chore. I love finding information that has been withheld from the public for whatever reason that we can use right now. We can use the next time we go to the grocery store. So I just get really excited when I can add a new, okay, when you're in the grocery store, I want you to choose cherry tomatoes instead of slicing tomatoes, because you get 20 times more lycopene, which is a compound that reduces your risk of heart attack and stroke. So I have found hundreds of examples like that where we have jewels of nutrition hiding in plain sight, but we just didn't know which ones they were.
Well, that's really comforting to hear, because as a food shopper, when I first, hear the words, not all veggies are created equal, I think, oh my gosh, this is going to get harder yet. It's going to be impossible to find good foods out there. But you're telling us that there are actually some clues. There are some things that we can look for wherever we shop. Now, you mentioned the cherry tomatoes. Are there other kinds of things we should be looking for? Are there some kind of general ideas?
Every kind of fruit or vegetable has many varieties. Think about apples. There's the Honeycrisp and the Granny and the L-Star and Empire and Golden Delicious. And it matters which ones you choose. And in my research shows that the Granny Smith, the Honeycrisp, Fuji, and Red Delicious can give you up to 13 times more antioxidants than the Golden Delicious, Pink Lady, and Empire, for example. So, yes, what we really need is a shopping list of exactly which ones are best for us and most like wild plants. Sometimes it's very surprising. For example, I learned that white-fleshed peaches and nectarines are better for us than yellow-fleshed ones. And that goes against the shop-by-color rule. Turns out that, yes, there are these really healing compounds in fruits and vegetables. And there's many, like the researchers that have now discovered 8,000 of them, and are beginning to find how they lower our blood pressure and reduce our risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Sometimes the most colorful ones are better for us. We've been told to shop by color. Sometimes these important compounds don't have color. So that's what's happening with the white nectarine and peach. They have compounds that don't advertise themselves. You just need to know. You need to have a list of which ones are best.
You know, you say you need to have a list. I know that those kinds of lists are in your book, but you also provided a very nice summary of both your premise and some tips in, I believe, the August-September edition of Mother Earth News. So,
yes.
So people may choose to go to that just to get a flavor, but the book itself is an amazing tome of really, really good information, as is your website, eatwild.com. In fact, as I was preparing for our conversation today, I was just chatting with my husband, Dave, last night. And he, while we were chatting, you know, of course, many modern couples do this. While we were chatting, he pulled up his computer and he began to search your website and found just an amazing chain of links about the nutrition and foods. So I think you've got another fan there, Joel. I'll tell you.
Oh, well, thank you.
People are looking for the research behind things that they are beginning to wonder about. You know, they're saying, my gosh, you know, what are we getting or are we not getting from the foods that we're buying?
I have found that the history of individual fruits and vegetables is really interesting. Our most popular grape, for example, is Thompson seedless, mm-hmm. and our raisins are made from Thompson seedless grapes. Well, this particular grape is actually a mutant, and it was discovered at least 1,000 years ago in Persia, and the mutation got rid of its seeds, which excited everybody. You know, who wants to eat a grape and spit out the seeds? Would rather have a seedless one. But the mutation also got rid of its color. And so it got rid of the red and purple colors in most grapes, and that's the anthocyanins, which are the reasons that red wine is good for us and that colorful grapes are good for us. So unwittingly, when we go to the store and we pick Thompson seedless grapes, we're picking a grape that has very few nutrients compared to the black and red ones sitting right next to it.
You know, I'm so glad you've written this book, because none of this is available in the popular, you know, conversation around what's good food. You know, you make me think again about that admonition, you know, eat five a day, eat five vegetables
right.
a day. And you could be eating yourself, you know, into a state of satiation without actually adding any kind of nutrients.
Yes, I was really surprised. Let's look at the Golden Delicious apple. It's the most popular apple in this country and now in the entire world. And in one study, a group of men who were overweight and had a high risk for heart disease were given one Golden Delicious apple a day. And at the end of this two-month study, they had higher cholesterol and higher triglycerides, which is a blood fat that's linked with heart disease, than they did at the beginning of the study.
Oh my gosh.
It's the apple, the Golden Delicious and other apples that are very sweet and don't have that nice kind of acid, bright flavor to them, can actually, is absolutely not good for your health.
Wow.
So, you know, eat that Granny Smith, eat that Fuji, eat that Honeycrisp, and you will get the one, you know, keep the doctor away if you choose the right ones.
Now, I think you've also got kind of one of the threads that I saw in your book and in some of the articles have to do with corn. What were some of your discoveries around something that is so dominant in our culture?
Right. Wild corn, we wouldn't eat it. It's dry and not sweet. But it was 30% protein and about 2% sugar. And over about 300 years, we have found different varieties of corn. They're usually mutants, ones that nature, you know, there was kind of like a rewriting of the DNA. And these, we chose the ones that were sweeter and sweeter, unwittingly getting rid of a lot of the colorful anthocyanins and superloading it with sugar. So 95% of the corn that we now eat is super sweet corn, and that's up to 40% sugar.
Ooh.
And that gives you, boosts your sugar as much as eating a Snickers bar.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, I mean, we did this because we love sweets. And so through the generations, I'm talking 400 generations, we kept choosing food that was sweeter and starchier and easier to grow and more productive, not knowing that we were leaving just a raft of nutrients behind in the forest.
You know, Joe, this is so interesting because I think it does... In my mind, immediately anyway, it does a couple of things. One, it helps us understand that this is a move that agriculture has been on, or a road that it's been on for a long time. So, you know, it doesn't do anybody any good to start blaming just the last generation or two of farmers, you know.
Exactly.
We're all in this together, and we all need to figure out, you know, the best way out.
In terms of these antioxidants, we've only been able to measure them with, you know, with any accuracy and find out what they do for our health for about 15 years. And now they prove to be the most important health-enhancing aspect of fruits and vegetables. And so we can't blame anybody for the fact that we've bred them out of our food, but now we know how important they are, and we can start making changes.
And that's very encouraging, both on the producer side and on the consumer side. Now, we've got people who listen who are on both sides. You know, I eat and I grow. And lots of us, all of us, love to eat at least three times a day. And so as you know, you think about the people who are listening here and in the many interviews that you've done in the last couple of months, what are some of the tips, not only for finding the food, but maybe for storing or cooking as well?
Turns out that each fruit or vegetable has a different profile of nutrients and needs to be treated in different ways. Tomatoes, the longer you cook them, the better they are for you. And, you know, we think, well, fresh is always best, but it's not true. On the other hand, there's some foods that you want to get at a farmer's market or grow yourself because just in a few days they can lose their ability to protect you from disease. And this list includes asparagus and broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cherries, kale, lettuce, raspberries, and spinach. These are things that are the most nutritious foods we can eat. But if they've been picked 3 weeks ago and then spend some time in a truck and then in a warehouse, and then the back rooms of the supermarket, and then we store them longer in our own refrigerators, they can't protect us against inflammation and cancer and Alzheimer's disease. We need to get them very fresh. And so, you know, these vegetables and fruits I call eat me first, fruits and vegetables, and we need to keep that in mind when we go shopping.
You know, the thing that strikes me as you kind of went through that principle is the challenge for me, let's say, as a homemaker and as a producer, to become much more knowledgeable about what it is that I'm doing. This is not some easy afterthought in helping our families and our nation become stronger and healthier. This is a real avocation.
Yeah, exactly. It's it's no longer the strong, the survival of the fittest, it's the survival of the best informed. And because we've made so many mistakes in agriculture, we actually do need a guide to lead us to food that is going to, you know, give us the protection that we had before we started reducing these nutrients. And you really do need to learn them. They're not, you can't always tell them by color, you can't tell them by their size and shape. All, you know, there's rules, but more important, you need the list. And wow. That's what I've done over 10 years, is given us a list of foods that are like wild plants in the amount of medicine they contain. So food can be our medicine if we know which ones to choose.
Wow. So is this kind of really difficult? Am I going to have to go shopping in special places?
Actually, I really wanted to find varieties that are in the corner supermarket where, you know, so many people are shopping. And so it turns out that, you know, simply choosing a hot onion instead of a sweet one, you get 8 times more antioxidants. And both of them are right there in the store. And it's very easy to make that change. And also, the hottest onion becomes very sweet and mild if you cook it.
Hmm.
So we can have that sweetness that we like, but the medicine too.
Okay, so let's move a little bit to some thinking. I know that you've presented in your book a great deal of research. So you've given us, as you said, the lists. And what I really like about what I've read is you name names.
Yes.
So that people can make informed choices, and also decide, you know, boy, I've got to learn some of this stuff. Do you think that there, well, from the kinds of requests that you've gotten from interviews,
yeah,
are you getting the sense that people really, really want to know this stuff so that they can change?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm getting. It need not be difficult. I mean, I put a lot of effort into making this simple for shoppers and farmers. And you don't have to do everything I recommend. You can choose one or two or three things. For example, just choosing a red grapefruit instead of a white one, you can lower your cholesterol and triglycerides. I mean, how easy is that?
Wow.
If you can choose a Haas avocado instead of the smoother, smaller green ones, and get 3 times more antioxidants. You just need to know which ones they are. And I've made all of these changes. I mean, my whole diet has been turned upside down, and I love what I eat. It's delicious, and I know that it's going to make me healthier, and it already has. So it's very exciting, very exciting news.
So you're not talking about a deprivation diet.
No, we will always choose foods by flavor and taste. That's not going to change. We're not going to eat foods that are medicinal if they taste bitter. I mean, I won't do it either. So I have found ones that are as tasty or even tastier than the common ones in the store. It's got to be both. It's got to be nutritious and delicious.
Wow. Wow. So, you know, one of the things that you mentioned in the articles and in your book has to do with garlic.
Right.
And, again, my thinking has always been, if you cut something, you use it immediately. If you cook something, you cook it quickly. But that's not necessarily the deal with garlic, is it?
No, this is a new finding as well. Researchers discovered this only in 2007. Here's the problem. You start with a fresh clove of garlic, and you're going to add it to hot oil or to a stew or a soup. And if you immediately chop it, press it, put it in these hot foods, it won't produce the main medicinal property in garlic, which is allicin, okay? So unwittingly, we've been just heating garlic and losing its ability to protect our health. But this researcher came up with a solution. All we have to do is chop, press garlic, slice it, and just set it aside at room temperature for only 10 minutes. Then it produces maximum amounts of allicin, and you can put it in sizzling hot oil, and it won't lose that allicin. So my mantra for that is press and rest. And, once you understand this, why it's important, it becomes second nature. I mean, I wouldn't put garlic in hot oil without letting it rest any more than I put my finger in it. Once you really understand how you are going to benefit from these really simple changes, they're rather easy to make.
You know, Joe, I've seen the reaction that you've gotten, you know, in the media. What has been the response in the nutrition world?
It depends on which part of the nutrition world. There's many doctors who are prescribing prescription drugs for all of your ailments, and there's some who are looking at healthy diet. The ones that are looking at the healing properties of a really healthy diet are extremely excited about this, because now they can give specific recommendations to their patients rather than just a general broad one of eat more fruits and vegetables. So, you know, it just depends. Those who are already thinking about healthy food are the ones that I have heard from the most.
I'll bet. So, you know, another kind of predisposition I would have is to think that canned foods are not as good as something that I can buy fresh.
Right, and that's usually the case. But there is exceptions. Tomatoes is an excellent example. The healthiest tomatoes in the store are not those red cherry ones, which are really good for you and better than any other fresh tomatoes. It's tomato paste. The fact that it's concentrated and have been heated, which increases its medicinal properties, makes it the healthiest tomato in the store. So buy tomato paste, and also canned tomatoes are better for you than fresh ones. So you don't need to feel bad about using them. I recommend that you do.
Wow, you know, you're busting a whole lot of balloons here, which is really kind of good. I think it's, we tend to try to put things into boxes and put things into easy to understand ideas. But I think that you're challenging a whole lot of us to think quite differently. So let me ask you, Joe, now that you've completed this book and you're out there kind of talking about it, what's on your radar now?
I'm just continuing on this path because, you know, I just find that I'm finding these gold nuggets of information that people need to know. So I'm adding to my knowledge base, and I will be sharing that, in talks and on my website. And I think my next book might be Cooking on the Wild Side, which gives you recipes with exactly the right ingredients and exactly the right preparation technique, so you can just follow the recipe and get all these benefits.
Can I order one now?
Yes, you can. Just send me an email. I'll put you on my list.
Thanks, Jill.
Visit my website, bronxtobarn.com, to download this and past interviews, to learn about my farm, and to reserve 100% grass-fed beef. We deliver to Minneapolis and St. Paul, Minnesota. Thanks.